Prophetic Lights, Chapter 16, Perilous Times. We have now noted the distinct signs in the heavens, which our Savior named in his discourse, to show that his coming is very near. But there are other signs among men, which the close student of prophecy will recognize as showing that the end approaches. Going back to the warning which our Savior threw in parenthetically when he was locating the signs in the heavens, we read, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east, and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In these words our Savior briefly describes the work of modern spiritualism, and tells us how we may avoid being deceived by its attempts to pass its wonders off as the manifestations of the glory of Christ's coming in his kingdom. Of the various manifestations of modern spiritualism we cannot here speak in detail. Suffice it to say that the wonders of slate writing and materialization that have already been actually produced by it, aside from the many frauds that have been perpetrated in the name of spiritualism, are but a sample of what will ere long be exhibited in tenfold greater quantity and degree. The work of spiritualism, and the agency by which its phenomena are produced, are thus described by the seer of Patmos. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." And then the prophet immediately adds the words of Christ, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches, and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Which shows that this working of Satan is an immediate precursor of the coming of the Lord. Many people suppose that spiritualist manifestations are nothing but sleight-of-hand tricks. This is a mistake. To be sure, a great deal that passes for spiritualist phenomena is not spiritualism at all, but there is also a great deal that is absolutely beyond the power of unaided human beings to accomplish. For instance, in the city of San Francisco, in a brilliantly lighted hall that was crowded with people, two perfectly clean slates that were provided and inspected by the audience were fastened together and hung upon a lighted gas jet in full view of the congregation. The medium kept at a distance from the slates, and no other person was near, and yet the scratch of a pencil was heard between the slates, and in a few minutes the slates were taken down and found to be filled with intelligible messages. Surely this was done by a power beyond the human. Again, an educated gentleman, a practicing physician, wished advice upon a certain subject. At the advice of a spiritualist medium, he wrote his question upon a sheet of paper, leaving room below for a reply, and placed it in an envelope, and sealed the envelope. The sealed envelope was placed where nobody but he could have access to it, and when, soon after, he broke the seal, he found in the space below his question an answer, telling him to carry out his proposed plan. Whether the advice was bad or good is not to the point at present. The point is that such things show that there is more than human power behind the manifestations of spiritualism. Without taking time to show why these manifestations cannot be what is claimed for them the work of the spirits of the departed, we rest on the scripture statement that they are the work of the spirits of devils. Now, is there any evidence that spiritualism will attempt to counterfeit the coming of the Lord? There is. In the world's advanced thought, the following statements were made in an editorial on a coming Messiah, in a recent Harmony Hall lecture on the messianic idea, the necessity for a new Messiah, and the certainty of his early advent, were philosophically considered, as well as prophetically proclaimed. The messianic idea is involved in the theory that all the phenomena of spiritual manifestations, however diverse and widely separated, may be referred to a single mediumistic source of distribution. The time has already come for logically arranging the authenticated facts which shall demonstrate it. There are regular cycles of spiritual progress, of truth unfoldments, and we are now passing from one into another. Another Son of Righteousness is called for on earth, and the messenger cannot be far off, whose life mission it shall be to practically illustrate the new truths that will be vouchsafed. In the same paper, Judge H. A. McGuire is reported as having used the following language in a lecture delivered in that city. I say, as one having authority, spiritualists, and all, may see a hope that shall be a realization to this very generation of the higher spiritual forces getting control over and governing all the institutions of the earth. Silently and invisibly to the worldly wise, these forces have been and are being, under the direction of a divine intelligence, extended into every department and station of human life, and the culmination is near at hand, the ushering in of a new Messiah and a new spiritual dispensation. More than this, it has been claimed by spiritualists that they are the only real Adventists, the only ones who are really preparing to welcome the Lord. Now, since Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and since he came as such to Jesus at his first advent, and tried to counterfeit and hinder his work in every way possible, what wonder that he should do his best to counterfeit the second coming of Christ, and thus turn the minds of the people away from the real event, so that they will be unprepared for it when it comes. Surely this would be a reasonable supposition, and the scripture plainly declares that such will actually be the case, and that he will deceive all but the very elect. The scriptures tell us that in pursuance of his deceptive work, and in order to make good his claim to be the Christ, he will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. This work is a sign of the near approach of the day of God. It is Satan's masterpiece of deception. Let people watch the marvelous growth of spiritualism, and know that it shows the end to be near. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the coming of the Lord to destroy the wicked, says that his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them, allow to come upon them, strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It is through spiritualism that those who reject the truth of God fill up the measure of their iniquity, and thus ripen up for the harvest of the earth. That this is so, is proved by the following scripture. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Jannes and Jambres, Pharaoh's magicians, withstood Moses by performing miracles to offset those which he performed. Deriving their power from the devil, they sought to make Pharaoh and the people believe that their miracles were from the same source as were those of Moses. So modern spiritualists claim that they are doing the very same things that Jesus did when he was here on earth, and by the same power, and thus they seek to undermine true Christianity. But as Pharaoh's magicians were exposed, so will these be to all who love the truth. But how will spiritualism cause those who accept it to fill up the measure of their iniquity, so that God's wrath cannot longer be withheld from them? Just this way. One of the cardinal principles of spiritualism is that man is a part of God, that every man is his own lawgiver and his own savior. They utterly reject Christ and the atonement, and claim that evil is only undeveloped good, that each one must follow the dictates of his own nature. Now when we remember that man has a fallen nature, that out of the heart of men, that is, out of the nature of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and that man has no power in himself to better his own condition, we can see at once that when men give themselves up to follow the impulses of their own nature, they must inevitably descend rapidly to the lowest depths of degradation. Let the reader compare the sins with the works of the flesh, and he will see that under spiritualism men simply do the things which unrestrained human nature must necessarily do. Now read what the Savior says of the state of morals that will exist when he comes. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In the days before the flood, the wickedness of man was great, so much so that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. This was because the people chose to follow their own impulses, and resisted the strivings of God's Holy Spirit. But human nature is the same in all ages, and when men resist the Spirit of God, and cast off all restraint, as spiritualism leads them to do, the wickedness of the Antediluvians and the Sodomites will be repeated in every detail. In view of this, how appropriate are the words uttered concerning this time. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments. The chapter which contains this discourse concerning the time of Christ's coming very fittingly closes with encouragement and warning. Said Jesus, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord when he comes shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." The Christian's duty in this time of patient waiting for Christ is to work. The Lord has given talents to every man according to his several ability, and it is their business to occupy, i.e., improve them for the Master's profit, until he comes. He has given to every man his work, and in order that men's faithfulness may be fully tested, he has kept secret the exact time of his return. Of that day and hour knows no man. Therefore we are exhorted, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Of one thing we can be sure, and that is that the coming of the Lord is near, even at the doors. This is all that we need to know. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming," and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man who thinks that because it has been a long time since the signs in the heaven were fulfilled, therefore it may be as much longer before the Lord comes, is as foolish as the man 100 years old would be if he should say that because he has lived 30 years past the age set down as the limit of man's life, therefore he will no doubt live 30 years longer. Reason would say that since he has lived so long past the allotted age, he cannot hope to live much longer. So we say that this generation must be well nigh past. It matters not that there is a great work yet to be done before all the world shall have heard this gospel of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul says that God will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. He has infinite resources at his command, and if he chooses, he can cause as much to be done in one day as has been done in the last 1,000 years. Besides, we do not know how widely the warning message may have been already spread. Elijah thought that he was the only one in all Israel who worshipped Jehovah. But the Lord said to him, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." The same thing may be the case now. Without doubt the work will close, and the Lord will come, when the servants of God are still planning for increased work, and the unfaithful are pursuing their own way, thinking that there is plenty of time. Only the evil servant says, "My Lord delays his coming." In his case the wish is father to the thought. He says so because he wishes it to be so. He may not say so openly, but his actions will reveal the thoughts of his heart. He ceases to work, and as soon as he ceases to work, he begins to smite his fellow servants. In view of such a possibility at this time, the Apostle James says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door." What a picture! We are all here expecting the judge soon to come to decide our eternal destiny. The position we occupy when he comes will determine our fate. If we are humbly working, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we are striving with one another, instead of against sin, he will say, "Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Even now he is at the door. His foot is upon the threshold, and his hand is upon the latch. Who, realizing this, can harbor resentment in his heart? Suppose the judge should open the door, and find us in the act of smiting our fellow servants. Surely this thought is enough to cause us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Time now is closing, yet the whole world lies in wickedness. The mass of mankind in all ages have rejected the mercy of God, and so it will be now. But, though the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Some out of every kindred and people and nation will wash their robes, and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. For such mansions are preparing, into which an abundant entrance will be ministered when the King comes to claim his own. Of such he will not be ashamed, and in the midst of the great congregation he will call them brethren. Poor and despised they may be now, but then they will be exalted to a place at God's right hand. Glorious thought! He which testifies these things says, "Surely I come quickly." And as we contemplate the glorious rest and peace that he will bring, our longing hearts respond, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus."